Three words. Scoot called game. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets at Destination.com. Jeremy Brenner here, and tonight, you know, this was supposed to be my night off, but I was able to catch a good chunk of that game, and especially that last bucket. So I've got a lot of excitement going on right now, and of course, I got to bring my co-pilot, Michael Brown. Mike, this is a celebration tonight, my friend. Always a pleasure to be celebrating with you.
Absolutely. Wide range of emotions, man. I mean, you gotta tip your hat to Kevin Porter Jr. I mean, this is why I hate people that make fun of people that get wrapped up in sports. Because tonight was just poetic justice. You know, I mean, the guy was dragged through the mud. Some idiot Chris Mannix, who works for Sports Illustrated, talking mad shit about Kevin Porter Jr. and how he should be cut and how the Rockets should move on. We're done with him. And he shut everybody up tonight, man, with that shot. I mean, what a shot. There's nothing more to say, in all honesty. You know, he did his thing. And that's probably the highlight moment for me over the past 2 years. Because it's sports, and how can you not love sports?
It's romantic. Isn't it romantic? It is.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, we all knew it. Like, watching the end of that game, and I'm like, he's going to do it, you know? And what trust for Steven Silas to let him have the ball there, to not run it through Jalen Green or Christian Wood or anybody else. And he did his thing. It was awesome.
And, like, Kevin Porter, he didn't have that good of a shooting game. 3 of 13. He made that last shot. So, going to that last shot, he's 2 for 12. But you know what? Sometimes hoopers hoop, and they come in when it matters. And Kevin Porter showed up when it mattered.
Yeah, he also saved all of our listeners, by the way, from one of the more epic rants you would ever hear in your entire life. Because if we lost that game to Neto, I would have had to have been admitted to a mental hospital after tonight's show. I'm going to go ahead and put out there. Because there's losing to scrubs, and then there's losing to that guy. But, dude, I mean, what I want to see Kevin Porter Jr.'s face in the locker room right now, because it's poetic justice, man.
Yeah, you see some of the shots that, the video that is him after the game. You just can't help but smile along with them.
No,
smile along with them.
And the thing is, right now, you really don't need. It's one of the beauties of this show that we do, right? Because it's right after the game. There's no time to think about what just happened. It's literally game ends, we're live, right?
You're catching our live reactions now. This happened the 0.4 seconds after, which, you know, made this a little less, I guess, dramatic. So this was about 10 minutes ago, so we're getting a very live, raw reaction, and it's incredible, man. It's incredible. And look, shout out to Kevin Porter, who, hit the shot when it counted. Had a pretty decent game. I mean, not necessarily shooting-wise, but defensively looked really strong. Had 4 steals, looking pretty good on the defensive end of things. Had 8 assists, led the team there. 7 boards. I mean, it put together a decent game. Obviously, it's not the best we've seen from Kevin Porter, but, hey, the Rockets needed every single one of the 9 guys that came into the game today. They need all 9 of those guys to win. And, props to all of them. And they really needed this win. Like, they were on an 8-game losing streak, especially everything that transpired from Saturday. You know, the win and the timing of all of this could not have happened at a better time.
No. And what I was going to say before was, this is what we do, right? We get paid to talk Rockets basketball, which is a beauty in itself. The words, I don't really know how many words are needed for this moment. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it goes without saying that Kevin Porter Jr.'s life was put on blast the past 4 days. People called him out. People called out this roster. You know, people called out John, not so many people called out John Lucas. People called out maybe the way he treated Kevin Porter Jr., which I don't think was wrong, by the way. Not a lot of talk about that, but that's for another day. But the whole organization got put on blast the last few days. And you won a game tonight that you needed so desperately on so many different levels. The fact that you're 3-18 on the road coming into this game. The fact that the Wizards were, you know, Bradley Beal is a star. I mean, the dude can just straight ball. You went at him tonight, and the last foul call on him was egregious. It was a terrible call, but it benefited us, so I'm not going to complain that much. But, like, the Rockets needed tonight. They needed tonight in so many different ways in the win category, in the just the camaraderie, man, on the court. Beautiful thing to see.
Winning cures all. And I think anything that was from Saturday that has, it's long gone. After you win a game, you on the road, a happy flight home. It's exactly what this team needed. And I mean, Kevin Porter is going to get the headlines on this one because, you know, everything that's gone on with him the past few days and hitting the biggest shot of the game, obviously, but we shouldn't take the rest of the guys and diminish their impacts on the game because Christian Wood also a big part of this criticism of the last few days, but today, 22-11 on 8-12 shooting, he played probably one of the better games of the season for him as well.
Oh my God. I mean, Christian Wood, there are so many, he came out of the gate tonight and did his thing. That was the other thing. I mean, right out of the gate, first 12 points were scored on or assisted by Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood. Mm-hmm. Christian Wood did exactly what you wanted him to do tonight. And no disrespect to Daniel Gafford. Daniel Gafford couldn't hold Christian Wood's jock if he placed it in his hands himself. Like, the fact is Christian Wood did tonight exactly what you want him to do when he's playing against an inferior guy. I think it's I forgot which one of our listeners always talks. I think it was, is it Adam that always talks about how he wants Christian Wood to go off for like 35 and 15. And I always have to point out, you realize how hard it is to go for 35 and 15 in an NBA game? Well, tonight, 22-11, he had three steals. He was a +7. Like, Christian Wood did exactly what you want him to do tonight. He called mouse in the house, or as Ryan Hollins likes to say, barbecue chicken. The fact that there's not a Rockets-themed T-shirt, by the way, with Ryan Hollins' face on it and a plate of barbecue chicken is a little upsetting, and I might have to do something about that. But Christian Wood did his thing tonight.
Yeah, and also Jalen Green had himself a good night as well. 22 for him, tied with the team high along with C. Wood. Eric Gordon had 19 as well. Jayshon Tate a double-double, 13 and 10. You know, it was a real balanced effort from this team tonight.
Oh, I mean, it was everybody. Nwaba played well defensively. Garrison Matthews had a massive three in the third quarter. I'm trying to think of when it was. I think we were up 5, and that put us up 8.
Yeah.
Josh Christopher, 4 of 5 from the field tonight. KJ Martin Jr., 11 points, 4 rebounds. Look, when you've lost 8 games in a row and what the Rockets went through this past weekend, I mean, this win will carry them for the next couple games, you know? And for the Rockets fans, that you really can't ask for much more from Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr., you know?
The thing is, Mike, yeah, I think, but at the same time,
I still want Christian Wood traded, but he did.
That to me, that's irrelevant. But tonight, honestly, the Rockets, 20 turnovers, they could be playing better. Like, they didn't play their best game tonight, yet they still got a win, which was key in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Real quick, now that we've come down from the high a little bit, the team that they were playing in the fourth quarter sucked. Come on. Like, you're playing Kyle Kuzma. You're playing Contavious Caldwell-Pope. You're playing David Avija, you know, Manes Tana, to my my our fellow Israeli brethren. I felt it, by the way. I want you to know.
Well,
I felt criminal rooting against a fellow Jewish person in the game.
That's regardless. But the thing that's key here is the fact that they were able to get Brad Beal to foul out with 9 minutes to go.
Massive.
Is massive. The Rockets probably don't win this game if Bradley Beal is available and stayed out of foul trouble. I mean, that also, you know, should be a knock on the Wizards for, you know, maybe Wes Unseld's rotations around Brad Beal and maybe trusting him to play. But also at the same time, Brad Beal's a, you know, a 10-year vet, is a guy that, you know, knows how to play in foul trouble, and tonight just, you know, didn't get the calls that he is privy to. But the Rockets took advantage of that, and the Rockets do deserve a little bit of credit there. Even if the Rockets had the lead for pretty much, you know, most of the second half, and they nearly lost it, but at the end of the day, Kevin Porter saved the day. So, yes, we can talk about all the asterisks that will go around this game, but at the end of the day, the Rockets, they don't care about the asterisks that are surrounding the game. They get a tally in the win column, a much-needed tally in the win column, and they will be able to take so much out of this game because they can use this as fuel to prove how they can get back up when things go down. And when things get down later during the season, whether it's this season, next season, all that, they can point back to this game and say, hey, guys, look at when we were at one of our lowest of lows. After that Saturday night in Denver when KPJ left the building. He's like, I'm done. He pulled an Elvis, left the building. But after all of that, they were still able to come out. And not just that, just in the fashion that it was happening. That's going to give so much confidence to a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. And it's got to give a lot of confidence. And if Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be the point guard of this team in the future, that can sprout for not just Kevin Porter's confidence, but the rest of the team. It's such a huge victory in how they got it tonight. It's massive for this team, not just moving forward this season, but hopefully in the years to come.
Yeah. I know I said this before, man. I love sports. I also hate sports, man. Like, it's such an emotional roller coaster. Like, think about the feelings that the Rockets fans have had to be in the past 72 hours. Like, it's crazy, even watching the game tonight. But they're in such a vulnerable, I think vulnerable was the right word coming into tonight, you know, because they're in a spot where a game like this can catapult them to who knows where, you know. I'm looking at a quote from Stephen Silas after the game saying Christian Wood played about as focused as he has all season. He was so good tonight. You know, is this now a turning point for wanting him to be here long term? Is, you know, does he now want to be a part of the Rockets' plans long term? Did he not want to be over the weekend? Did his feelings change when, you know, basically the entire fan base turned on him? I'm as guilty as anybody of that. Kevin Porter Jr., I think, is the opposite. I think Kevin Porter Jr. showed over the weekend how much he actually cares about this franchise and how much he cares about this team. For better or for worse, you can't leave the stadium. But I think you and I talked about this. I actually like Kevin Porter Jr. now more after this incident than I did before. Mm-hmm. I loved what he did. Now, not leaving, obviously, but the passion, the energy, the care.
It's just about channeling it.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, he's 21 years old, right? He's 21 years old. I love what you said about, you know, the mental health part of this that I don't think got enough attention, but tonight it all paid off. That single moment paid off. The confidence that this organization showed in Kevin Porter Jr. and in Christian Wood. I don't think they overreacted with the one game suspension. I think they did it just right. I'll tell you this right now. They're winning Friday night on Bill Worrell night inside of Toyota Center after this win. I'm calling my local bookie, and I'm putting real money down. The Rockets will not lose Friday night. I guarantee a win over the Mavericks Friday night.
Yeah, Mavericks, they've been playing pretty well lately, and it looks like they're about to close on a win against the Warriors at home.
Doesn't matter. So I don't care. We win Friday night.
We'll see. We'll see. But let's talk more about this game tonight with some of our listeners over here. We've got Shane calling from Down Under. Shane, welcome back to the show, my friend. I don't know what time it is where you are right now, but it's a good morning or afternoon or something where you are.
It's afternoon. It's
1:50. All right, well, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, thanks.
What's up, Shane?
Man. Yeah, what's up? Dude.
Drop your take.
Man, that was such a, like, I just read it in the comments, but it was such a wholesome moment, man. It's like, that's probably the most wholesome sports moment of 2022, man. Like, I reckon it will be.
Aren't too many to compare, but yeah.
No, there's nothing to compare at the moment, but like, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I just, like, who really expected that shot to go in? Like, I ain't gonna lie, because I just, there's a way the momentum was going. It just felt like the Wizards were gonna go to overtime and we're just gonna blow another game that I thought we should have won. And then it was just like, wow, he actually hit it.
Oh, I mean, it was a phenomenal shot. And what confidence, by the way, Jeremy? And Shane, to dribble that down, to not even run a play. That was basically, I'm better than you, and I'm going to show it. Which, to be fair, Jeremy, you and I are both better than whatever Neto is. I swear to God, there's not many dudes
in the league. You need to stop. Trashing other dude. Two role players.
He sucks. He sucks.
No, he had 14 more points tonight than you did.
It doesn't matter by league. Okay. Listen, I told myself I was not going to do this. You cannot sit here and tell me that that guy is good. Yes, I'll acknowledge he's better than me, but by league standards, I'm sick and tired of the Rockets getting beat by people and scrubs like Neto and whatever we got beat by last game with Philadelphia, Campazzo, or whatever the hell his name is. He sucks, too.
Campazzo was inexcusable.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Shane.
You know what that shot reminded me of?
James Harden.
A former Rocket. No. A former Rocket. Not James Harden.
Ryan Bowen.
Not Ryan Bowen.
Coutinho Mobley.
It wasn't while he was with the Rockets. I'll continue with that. But do you remember when RJ Hunter hit that three in the tournament? And his dad was the coach?
He played for the Carolina team, right?
No. Yeah. No. Georgia State.
That's what it was.
Yep, it was Georgia State. So, Shane, I'm not sure if you're familiar with college basketball, but R.J. Hunter, before he was, you know, with the Rockets, he was playing with Georgia State. And they were 14 seed. I want to say they were playing Baylor or either Baylor or Iowa State. And R.J. Hunter had the ball.
Didn't his dad have an injury, by the way?
His dad had, like, a broken foot or something. Like, he was sitting on the sideline in a stool, in, like, a movable stool. And
it was against Baylor.
Yeah, so, okay, he hits the shot. But you knew the shot was going in because it was just that kind of feel that you get when, like, you know, clock's winding down, guy's got the ball in his hands. Also, you know what it also reminded me of? Another former Rocket, Jeremy Lin. When he hit that shot to beat Toronto during the Linsanity era, it had that feeling to it. It really did. And, you know, that's the best part of basketball for me. It's just, it's and those
you're
moments.
You're more optimistic than me if you had that feeling. I didn't have that feeling at all. The way we've been losing games, I just expected it somehow.
I'll say this. If considering just all of what happened in the past couple of days, that's why I thought it would go. You just had a feeling, and Kevin Porter, like, and that's the thing is, when Jeremy Lin had the ball in his hands in that last shot in Linsanity in Toronto, you just, everything was going right for him. Everything was like, you know, how it would be like, oh, how awesome of a story would this be if he made this shot a buzzer beater all of, like, after he drops like 30 on Kobe in Madison Square Garden, and after he does all of this, you know, saves the Knicks season, all of that, and then of course he has the ball last minute and pulls up from three, like, you're like, oh yeah, that's the kind of feeling I had. And I wonder, you know, I wonder who else had that feeling, because I'm sure I'm not the only one, but it just, when you can see like how beautiful of the story it could turn out to be, that's why I thought it would go in. And that's our point guard. So I had every bit of confidence of going, even though he had a poor shooting night overall and before that moment. As long as he went 1 of 1 in that last shot, that's what mattered.
I mean, he had the confidence the whole night, though. You could see it. Like, even though he wasn't hitting, he had that confidence that, like, every shot is going to go in. Like, you can tell when the players are, like, shooting, but they don't really believe.
You know what? He took a play out of Daniel Tice's playbook from the last game.
Oh, God.
You just shoot.
I'm having PTSD of Daniel Tice shooting threes, and
the shot will eventually go in, because look, usually for a player you'd be like, okay, you're 2 of 12, why am I giving you the last shot when I could give it to Jalen Green, who had a better shooting night, or a guy like, you know, Eric Gordon, who's just been in those moments before. But Kevin Porter had that ball in his hands because Steven Silas knew this is what he needed, and he backed his point guard, and the point guard came through.
Can we also talk about, for 2 seconds, you mentioned his name. Eric Gordon is shooting 45% from three this season. He had 19 points tonight. That dude is playing out of his mind currently.
Yeah, he's
going to make
possible.
A team. Yeah. He's going to make a team very, very happy. If it's not the Rockets, which we all assume it's not, dude's balling right now.
Yeah.
So he deserves a special shout-out.
It sucks that it's happening now that we're going to actually – I mean, it's good because we're trading him and his value is going to be high, but it's like, man, like this would have been good during the Russell Westbrook last year or the Chris Paul last year. To be fair, Eric Gordon was like our second best player in the playoffs in like the last couple of years that we had. I actually got to say also like a quick shout out to Christian Wood, because I felt like he actually came out like the exact way you would hope someone would come out after what happened, you know? Like, instead of like, I feel like this season there's been so much of like, woe is me, I'm not getting the touches I want, I'm not getting the foul calls I want. But then today was like more like, I'm still going to battle through it. And I'm that dog. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to get my points kind of thing. So like, he had like an attitude about him that I haven't seen for a while.
Yeah. It's been a crazy, crazy couple of days. But Shane, any last thoughts before we swap speakers out?
Yeah. I guess, I want to hear your guys' opinion on it a bit, but, like, do you think there's a way your mind would change on Christian Wood, like, if you saw him do this, like, let's say the next 10 games, you see this kind of effort from him? Like, obviously, we know he's not going to hit his shots the same way all the time, but just effort-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Shane, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Shane. Thanks.
Yeah, so I'll say this. I mean, last episode we talked about, like, potential landing spots for Christian Wood, just because it was just, I guess it was brought up and from a speaker. But my opinion hasn't really changed on Christian Wood, even after all of what happened over the weekend. I am of the opinion that he can be that guy. He needs to buy in, and it's up to him. That's totally on him. He is his own worst enemy, and that's something I believe I did say on the last show. He is his own worst enemy, and he needs to – if he can get out of that, he can be successful here. And if the Rockets were to move on from him by this trade deadline, it wouldn't be for basketball reasons. It would be for culture fit reasons. What do you think, Mike?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think he has to buy in. I think he talks a really big game, and the way I'm going to phrase it is he's got to prove that he's worth that big contract. You say buy in, I say he needs to prove it. We're saying the same thing. I think we're both saying he's got to show that he can be that guy. I think he can be that guy, and I wouldn't mind signing him to a long-term deal if what he does over the next 10 or so games showing what he showed tonight that he can be that guy, but I'm still skeptical. I would move him for the right piece. In order for me to move him, you got to get at least one first round pick, and you've got to get at least a nice asset, a nice young asset to play alongside the rest of the guys. So I don't think my opinion changed all that much tonight, but I did see more from him tonight than I anticipated on both ends of the court, and that was nice to see. Let's see what he can do on Friday and forward.
Because you know what's interesting here is we're talking about one game. And yes, one game is one game. Things can change, be very different over the next game. But it's interesting how we talk about Kevin Porter in how, oh, it's like one game, and he didn't even play that well overall, but he was such a big impact to the win that, oh, yeah, he's back. But Christian Wood, who had a very good game, still one game, and we hold him – I guess we hold the two of them to different standards is what I'm trying to say. And should we be holding them to different standards?
Yes, absolutely.
And we should be holding Christian Wood to a higher standard because he is older or because he is making more money? What do you think is the reason behind that, Mike?
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think you have a lot more invested in Christian Wood – a hell of a lot more invested in Christian Wood than you do in KPJ.
Of assets they've already used, yeah.
Well, yeah, but yes, you have $14 million into Christian Wood, and you also have to figure out if he's a franchise cornerstone of your franchise. You have to do the same thing with KPJ, but I also think that you can't treat them the same. In my eyes, like, you inherited the situation of Kevin Porter Jr. knowing exactly what went down for the most part in Cleveland. You've got to treat him with kid gloves a lot more than you do with Christian Wood, I feel like. So I think it's totally different situations. You saw what happened when you treated him with tough love. I think this is a turning point for me for Kevin Porter Jr. I mean, the sky's the limit for him.
Turning point for Christian Wood either?
No, I don't. Because I think Christian Wood, I think the deal with Wood, Wood's going to get paid. Whether it's here or somewhere else, his next contract is going to be massive. He's going to get 5 years, $100 million. Kevin Porter Jr., that's not guaranteed, man. Christian Wood, in my eyes, is a done deal. I mean, a guy who's 6'10". Can do what he can do on a court and is averaging 17 and 11. Yeah, sign me up. He also didn't leave the arena in the middle of a game. So I think his future is a lot more certain than a guy like Kevin Porter Jr.
That's fair. I wasn't necessarily looking to challenge you on that. I was just kind of giving you the opportunity to kind of, because I do think that your opinion is very similar to a lot of people. So that's, I think, But I don't think anyone really knows why, but I think you've kind of done it really well and explained that, I think, for other people. But let's bring up another speaker. We've got Adam here. So let's bring up Adam to the show. Adam, welcome back to the Dream Take, my friend. What you got for us?
What's up, Adam?
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're fantastic.
Yeah, we're pretty damn good.
Can't you tell?
Yeah.
I wanted to echo kind of Michael's point. I definitely think we should value Christian Wood more, and we should hold them to a higher standard. And some of that's just because there are probably 20 to 23 quality point guards in the league right now. Legitimately, there's maybe 6 or 7 big men that you can expect to get 20 and 10 on a night in, night out basis. And so there's just a limited supply of players that are of the quality of Christian Wood. And even though, you know, we hope Kevin Porter Jr. will continue to develop, you could probably replace him a lot easier than you could Christian Wood, if we're being really honest about it. Second point that I had, I agree with you about Eric Gordon. I've really liked how Eric Gordon has played the last 5 or 6 games, because I don't feel like he's forcing anything. You know, like, he fits into the offense. You know, he lets KPJ and Jalen Green kind of really be the face of the offense, but you know, he's really like that, that kind of, you know, that outlet kind of offense that comes in, you know, to kind of drive the lane, kind of get, you know, penetrate and find an open shooter. He's not really forcing his kind of imprint on the team, but you look up at the end of the game and he's got 15 points on, you know, 55% effective field goal percentage, and he's shooting 45% from three, like you guys were saying. That's a huge asset that any contender would like to have. And I think, you know, I think his value will only continue to rise. In terms of like Christian Wood, I may have been kind of an outlier in kind of how we were discussing it a few days ago, but I thought we were just massively overreacting to the situation. It was almost like we had opposing teams' GMs kind of make, you know, setting the narrative for our team. It was almost like, you know, it's like we're ready to ship Christian Wood out and just, you know, and basically take, you know, pennies on the dollar for that guy. It's like, no, even if you believe he has a bad attitude and he's not part of your future, you lied to yourself so that the other, you know, as many of the other GMs in the league believe that Christian Wood is a cornerstone to a team and a number two option on a championship caliber team. And you just kind of, you know, if we're going to trade him for something that's of kind of commensurate value, you know, let him ball out, let him out average 20 and 10 until the trade deadline or before it, and get some real value. You know, we don't want to kind of cut off our nose to spite our face just for the sake of emotions. We don't got to be emotional about, you know, about the situation. And the last point I'll make, before I let you guys go, as I've gone a little long, I find myself kind of really, really being kind of, I watch the games for Jalen Green, if I'm being honest, and Şengün, somewhat, but I see, you know, Jalen Green is going to be a star in the league. And he's like, you know, I find myself tuning out when he's not on the court. But, you know, and he's been really impressive since he's come back. And a lot of it's just been just the maturity. You can kind of see that he's learned some stuff. He's definitely done a lot of tape, you know, a lot of, you know, studying, you know, video, you know, studying on kind of the tape of the games that he wasn't playing in and being really observant. I'm sure the coaches were part of that. I mean, you know, he doesn't just rely on that 3-point shot anymore. He's attacking the basket. I hope that continues to be the case. I hope, you know, what I would hope for my New Year's resolutions for the Rockets would be, you know, Jalen Green continuing to get 15, 16 shots a game, his effective field goal percentage being above 50%, and just him continuing to be kind of fearless and just kind of attacking the basket and developing. Cause I think a little bit, it's been a good thing that maybe the perception around the league has been that he struggled a little bit. Obviously he hasn't been as impressive as Mobley and Scottie Barnes, but I think that's been a good thing. You know, I think this, you know, he's under the radar a little bit, and eventually, you know, he has another 10, 15 games like this. Eventually other kind of pundits out there will catch on to how good Jalen Green is. But at this point, if we know that he's this good, I mean, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of what you said is right on. I watch this team for guys like Jalen Green, but man, do I love watching a guy like David Nwaba. We haven't talked enough about David Nwaba and his impact that he's had over the past this whole season, Jeremy. I mean, basically ever since he's touched the court.
Well, when he's been playing.
I know he hasn't. I know it hasn't resulted in a ton of wins, but his impact on these games cannot be understated when he's on the court. He had a big three tonight. His defensive effort cannot be understated.
Yeah, and I think David Nwaba ends up staying with the team past the deadline because there is a need for like veterans on
absolutely.
The team. And I think Nwaba's there, but kind of take back to what Adam was saying about Jalen Green. You know what's funny is I see a lot of Bradley Beal in Jalen Green's game. Yeah. Like if we could get if Jalen Green can be like Bradley Beal and how his career trajectory has been, I'm looking at his numbers now, like 14 points a game, but shot 38% from three. Like Jalen this year, his numbers are pretty similar to that, I think. And they're probably a little bit, I mean, points wise, 15 a game and a 32% from three. So not as good in the 3-point department, but that's going to get better, I think, as his career goes. And look, Bradley Beal's a career 37% 3-point shooter. And he's been able to kind of get his, you know, he's seen 30 points a game the last 2 years. So, and that's in year what? That's in year like 8 or 9 for him. I think this is year 10 for Bradley Beal. Yeah. So like 8, if in year 8, like Bradley Beal's hitting 30 a game, like Jalen Green could be hitting that. Like, I think it's possible. And Jalen Green's going to get stronger, which will make him more prone to getting fouls under the basket. And hopefully he'll be able to have that like stature to where he'll be able to, you know, make those shots under the basket and then go to the free throw line, get more points. And then if that three's falling at a 37-38% as opposed to a 32-33%, I think like Jalen Green could be there's a lot of Bradley Beal in Jalen Green's game, I think. And I'd be really excited if that was going to come. I think we didn't realize like how we missed Jalen when he was out. But I think now that he's here and he's had a rough shooting night, I think the last two nights, obviously since he had that, you know, 29-point game in Houston on Saturday, he hasn't been as strong from the field in the last two games, but I think, yeah, the sky's the limit for Jalen and he's absolutely fun to watch. He should be the number one reason at this point to watch Rocket basketball. But Adam, any last thoughts before we get to our last speaker for the night?
Yeah, I really like the comp of Bradley Beal. They both came into the league at 19. I don't think Beal made it an All-Star team until his fifth year in the league.
Is his sixth year in the league? Yeah.
Jalen Green, I think he's ahead of schedule with kind of a lot of that. And I'd like to kind of see, you know, Jalen Green kind of get to a point where kind of similar to Bradley Beal, you can dribble to like the elbow, you know, rise up for the jumper, kind of, you know, it's not always drive right to the rim or take the three, you know, a little bit of mid-range game. And last thing, Garrison Matthews, who I think was huge tonight. I think he drew two or three offensive fouls on Bradley Beal. He's one of those players that just stops one of those, you know, when a team's on an 8-0 run, he's able to kind of disrupt that with a charge or something like that and really kind of reset the tone of the team on the defensive side. And we don't have many players like that. So I think, you know, he was really missed as well here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much, Adam. We always appreciate your content and your insight. All right. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting because we've been talking about how Jalen Green and Kevin Porter can kind of be this dynamic backcourt and can really, you know, be the dynamic duo that the league will fear for years to come. And, you know, Bradley Beal never really became an All-Star until John Wall started getting hurt and he became the lead guard in that. Well, with Jalen Green and Kevin Porter, they operate a little bit differently than Beal and Wall were. And I think what they will become is going to be different than those two. I mean, same idea where the team is built through the backcourt, but in terms of how they score and how they win games, you know, Jalen, I think, will always be seen as kind of the lead scorer out of those two. And I think having Jalen there, it allows Kevin Porter to be that kind of dynamic defender. And that is like, that's why I think Kevin Porter can be that point guard for the future, is because I think there is a lot of aspects in these two games that complement each other really well. And I think we saw some of that tonight. Now, obviously, yes, you'd like a better shooting game from Kevin Porter. And I think had that happened, the Rockets probably wouldn't win this game by 10 or 15 points. But, you know, it's nice that you're able to get a guy like Jalen Green, and you have right now Eric Gordon, a guy that can bail you out when other guys aren't shooting as well. But let me get to our last speaker here. We got Sergio in the audience now. He's going to come on up and drop his takes. So, Sergio, welcome to the Dream Take. My friend, how are you?
Oh, it's a great day today, Jeremy. I'm telling you that.
It's a great day today. Absolutely. All right, what you got for us? My God.
Well, despite KPJ's terrible efficiency shooting tonight, he did show up. He's really shown what he could do on the defensive side. I'm pretty sure he ended the first quarter with was it 3 steals? I'm pretty sure.
I think he had 4 steals tonight.
Yeah, but he ended the first quarter with 3
steals. Yeah, 3 steals in the first quarter. Yeah, yeah. Four throughout the game.
And, you know, this is a pretty big game coming back from suspension. And, you know, people, even Sports Illustrated, saying that the Rockets should just get rid of him, like just give up on him. But
well, people should give up on reading the garbage that's in Sports Illustrated. So.
Well,
yeah, that's why I tweeted that stuff out earlier about whoever is writing the article for Sports Illustrated needs to be fired.
Well, as someone that writes for Sports Illustrated, I do not condone what my co-host has just said. But
you know who I'm talking about, Chris Mannix. Specifically, okay, yes. Chris Mannix sucks and should be fired from Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated doesn't suck. My apologies. I rescind that comment, Jeremy. But Chris Mannix sucks ass and shouldn't be writing for the beloved Sports Illustrated.
But I'll say. But here's the deal. And I mentioned it on the last episode about, you know, how headlines, and we shouldn't necessarily judge people based off of their headlines, and we should, you know, read the rest of the story. Don't just read a headline, and don't give up on a headline because it's behind a paywall. I think we should really, and if you really don't want to read the story, then don't read the headline and don't judge someone based off of the headline. Either get to know the story, read the story, get the full version of it, or don't make judgments based off of 1% of the story. So that is why Chris Mannix wrote that article, because he is paid to write articles about the national NBA landscape, and he took the 1% that he saw of Houston and ran with it. And that's totally fine. He has every right to write that article, whether, you know, and we have every right as Rockets fans to agree or disagree with what was written in that article. So that's really what it is to it. And I think with Kevin Porter, is to kind of bring it back to what you said, Sergio, about his defense tonight. You know, that is where he's really made strides in his game, and I think it's what makes him, honestly, you know, more valuable. Like you look at how the Bucks are built, right? And you look at how the Suns are built, because those are the two model teams right now. Those are the two teams that have recently made it to the NBA Finals, and those are the model examples. And the reason why the Bucks became a contender instead of a pretender is a guy like Drew Holiday, who is a defense first guy. Yes, he's able to get you 15 a game because he also is extremely gifted offensively, but Drew Holiday makes his money off of the defensive end of the game. And offense wins games, and defense wins championships. So that is, I think, what they're looking to build Kevin Porter into, and the fact that he's already made these strides in year 3 in his career, and he's only 21, I think he's going to get better. Because I think before he got to Houston, he was really seen primarily as this scorer, and he has those scoring abilities, and it's great, but now you're taking a guy that was just a scorer into a guy that's a creator, and not just a creator, but a guy that can defend well. Like, he's becoming a plus defender. I don't know if he's exactly there, but tonight he was definitely a plus defender, and that is what he's going to make money off of this offseason. Like, if with the extension that he's eligible for, that's why he's going to earn it, not because of his scoring abilities. Because to be honest, the main scorer on this team for years to come is Jalen Green, and he's proving that, you know, here now, and hopefully the second guy is going to be either Kevin Porter or maybe a Şengün or whoever the Rockets get at the top of this next draft. But, you know, Kevin Porter is going to have an important role on offense, but he is going to be the quarterback on defense. He's going to be the middle linebacker that the team needs to play well defensively in order to win a basketball game.
Yeah, I mean, like what you said, we've really been lacking the defensive side, but now today our guys basically showed up. Christian Wood, he also had a great game today. shooters. He went 6 for 6 in the free throw line. And, you know, he was actually able to use, like, his big body to actually get the boards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Learning how to use his body. Like, that is, like, what Mike – that's why Mike is an advocate for getting a rebounding guy next to Christian Wood, because he doesn't showcase that enough. But tonight he was, and the Rockets did win the rebounding battle tonight. You know, I want to say, like, teams that win – and this is not going off of any official numbers, but – I'd be shocked if teams that win the rebounding battle don't win more often than they lose. I think winning the battle on the boards is correlating with who wins basketball games. Obviously, it matters about who has more points at the end of the day, but having more rebounds definitely helps.
That's true. We out-rebounded the Wizards. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 48-41. All right, any last thoughts, Sergio, before we sign off?
Oh, yeah. Who do we play next? We
play Dallas.
Friday night
against Dallas at home.
Which we will win, because I have guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm calling it right now. Scoot double-double and Jelly Green going up for over 20.
Okay. All right. Well, Sergio, we're going to hold you to that. All right. Thank you so much for coming on, Sergio. Right. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, we got Dallas on Friday. Mike's guaranteeing a win. I'll try to give a little bit more analysis in terms of this. So, I mean, I write for a Dallas website, and I cover the team. I've been doing so for about a month now. This team is starting to turn the corner. And I think a big reason behind that is Luka returning. Luka, he hurt his ankle tonight against the Warriors, so he may or may not go on Friday. But this team is more than just Luka. They added Jalen Brunson to the starting lineup because Luka was out with COVID, and they've stuck him in because he's played that well. So that should be an interesting matchup, I think. You know, it's going to be a battle of the backcourts. It's going to be can Jalen Green and Kevin Porter outplay Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic, and I think whoever plays better is going to win. Obviously, advantage to the Mavericks because they have the best player on the court. Luka is the best player on the court, and you know that's I think a lot of the things with most games is the other team will more than likely have the best player on the court. Like tonight, Bradley Beal was the best player on the court, but they were able to take Bradley Beal off the court, literally. Like, they were able to get him into foul trouble. They took advantage. And with Dallas, I'm not saying get Luka in foul trouble, like, that's how you win. It's possible. That is a viable strategy to beat the Mavericks. But you got to do more than just that, I think. I think it's more about I think if Luka plays, you got to make sure that he is well-defended by Kevin Porter. And another thing too, like Tim Hardaway always for some reason finds a way to kill us. So just limiting the threes, I think, is most important for the Rockets coming into this game against the Mavericks. Also, the defense for the Mavericks has been really good lately as well. They've won now 4 straight games. They've held teams to under 100 points in each of the last 5 games. So being able to get out to a quick lead, get offense going early, is going to be important in this game. So hopefully,
Christian Wood's got to eat on Friday.
Yeah, if Porzingis is still on the COVID list by Friday, definitely. So hopefully they can find a way to win, because getting a win at home is obviously important, and getting a win against your arguably your biggest rival also very important. So hopefully the Rockets can come in to the game on Friday, start off where they left off here in Washington tonight, and start this new winning streak. But I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at DreamShakeSBN. You can also head to our website, www.thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. We'll be back on Friday night with another episode. Mike will be on. I probably will not be. I actually do have plans, and I probably won't be able to slide in like this on Friday. But who knows? You never know. But we will have another episode on Spotify Green Room. one or the both of us. So be sure to come post game for that. And yeah, be sure to also subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to also follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW Podcast _MB.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you to our live audience here on Spotify Green Room once again. And until next time, go Rockets.